Long time since I've seen a Mr. Bean. Grace is God's power at work in us to help us to become who he created us to be and to do the things he wants us to do. Spiritual disciplines or practices are our efforts at training to participate with him as he transforms us. When you put grace and practices together, it creates the formation of us into the image of Jesus, his son. We come to the second half of our series in celebration of discipline. The first half, we dealt with week one, an overview of what the practices were all about. Week two, we looked at the idea of digging in and chewing on scripture. That was the practices of meditation and study. In week three, we sought God through prayer and fasting. And 2 weeks ago, in week four, we looked at the disciplines of simplicity and solitude. The two went hand in hand as they looked at this idea of us removing the scaffolding that supports our false self so we could have a look in the mirror as to who we really are. Well, we come to the beginning of the second half, and the two sort of practices or disciplines that we're looking at today are submission and service. So let me pray for us as we dive in. I'm going to tackle them both a little separately. Submission we'll talk about a little bit more first and a little longer, and then the second half in service we'll have a quick peek at that. So let me pray and then we'll look at submission. Father, we long to know you. Jesus, the Son, we long to be like you. Spirit, we long to trust you. So come, help us to live the life that you offer, which we believe is the very best way to live. We pray this in the name of Jesus and for his kingdom's sake. Amen. I am 100% confident that Satan is in charge of the e-bus to Kelowna. See, I got on the e-bus at Guildford Mall on Thursday, and sitting behind me were three kids that assumed that the back of my seat was like the playground. They screamed, they kicked, they jumped, they fought for 5 hours in a row. Couldn't somebody control these kids? I mean, don't you know we're on a bus? It's a public place, right? And then I sat next to a woman who promptly fell asleep, except she fell asleep in a position that sort of she was leaning into my space. Now, you know how you share an armrest between two seats? And there's usually on a plane or on a bus a little bit of a tussle between the two people sitting there who's going to get the armrest. She didn't just take the armrest. She took like a quarter to a half of my seat as well. She was at least 8 to 10 inches over with her elbow. And I was either going to have to sit in such a way as to type on the computer with her elbow dug into my ribs, or the alternative was to lift the armrest on the aisle side and shove over so I had, sorry, one cheek on the seat and one cheek in the air. And I was trying to find any space that I could possibly find. It was my space. And then as I moved into the aisle, there was a kid on the other side. She was having just a wonderful time, swinging her legs as if she was on like a merry-go-round or something. And every sort of third swing, she would kick my ankle, my bad ankle. Didn't she know I have a bad ankle? And the heat on a bus for 5 hours from Guildford to Kelowna, the air conditioning wasn't working. And when you put 54 people on a bus to get 55, including the driver, it's hot. I have rights, you know. I mean, I paid a lot of money to go on this trip from hell. I needed to study and prepare for my sermon on submission, which I found the funniest of all those things. Didn't God know? Yes, he did. He knew very well. And he knew what I needed to pay attention to. Submission. That's my armrest. Submission. I have rights. I paid for this seat. Submission. I have rights for it to be quiet and cool and comfortable for me, don't I? Let's talk about submission for a few minutes. And maybe the best place to start is what it isn't. Submission is talked about in Scripture, but it's not talked about in the way of caving in. Sometimes we in culture think that, oh yeah, to submit means we cave in. It shows emotional weakness. Like somebody's being mean to us. Somebody's abusing us in some way. And so we cocoon or we turtle. Have you heard that phrase before? Where you pull your head inside the shell and everything sort of comes around you. Or we fight back sometimes. We speak back. We get sharp tongues. We make cutting comments. Sometimes society thinks that being submissive means that we tap out. Tapping out is when we're physically weak or physically overwhelmed, like in MMA or in wrestling or in some of that other stuff where you tap out because you're submitting. It's not that in Scripture. Nor is it the fighting back that we tend to want to do instead of tapping out. Nor is it being walked on. It's not caving in. It's not tapped out. It's not being walked on. Now, what's that? It's practical weakness. When somebody takes our rights, we have rights, you know, don't you? Somebody takes our rights, we begin to fight back. We want to get our own way. Or sometimes we think that submission is all about letting go of our convictions. Spiritual weakness. We capitulate. The culture has shifted on something, and so we sort of slide around and find a way to capitulate so that we too can fit in. I've shared some of my story with you before about a time when I was growing up, junior high particularly, a little bit into high school. My circumstances were that I'd skipped a grade. I was a small kid anyways. My dad was a pastor. I played the violin. All these things added up to not very good. And I was picked on a lot. Emotionally, I was blamed for things. Physically, kids tried to stuff me in a locker. Practically, I was left out of things. Spiritually, I was mocked. What did I do? I learned to have a sharp tongue. I wasn't big enough to fight back in the beginning, but I could fight back with my words. As I grew, I began to fight back physically. That always brought pain. Practically, I began to get good at a couple things, soccer included, so that I could actually, instead of being made fun of, make fun of others in the way that I would treat them on the soccer pitch. And spiritually, I suppose I took pride in the fact that I was always morally upright, better than others, self-righteous. But that was back then. The problem is that I'm still suffering some of the consequences today, and so do you, and so do others of my friends. I know I get defensive easily. Somebody's picking on something and I feel this defensiveness come, even though they might be saying it out of love. I'm quick to sort of get my hair on the back of my neck standing up, ready for a fight if somebody does something that goes against what I want. I know how to get my own way. And spiritually, there are times when I know that I lack mercy. My first response is not love, but criticism. There's a reason I was on that bus on Thursday. It's about submission. Submission is not about our weakness. In fact, it's completely the opposite. It's about God's strength in us. You see, instead of coming across like we're emotionally weak and caving in, what do we learn to do? We learn to stand up. To stand tall and to realize our identity is in Christ, not in the things that people are saying about us. Or physically, and it's not just about tapping out, sort of, we're physically weak. It's not about fighting back either. It's about turning the other cheek. Practically, it's not about being walked on, but it's about learning to submit and abandon outcomes. What does that mean? It means that I care more about the person than I do about being right. It means that I care more about their rights being honored than mine. Not because I'm weak, not because I'm being stepped on, but because I'm submitting. And there's great strength in it. And spiritually, it's not weak when we stand up and allow our convictions to speak instead of capitulating. What we need now is a whole group of people who will learn what it means to submit to Jesus. And even if our reputation is tarnished, let it be tarnished because we stood for our convictions rather than we capitulated. Submission is about strength. And it's about a decision. It's about a decision to subordinate or submit our own rights for the sake of others. Isn't that what we heard in the text a little bit earlier in Philippians chapter 2? So I'm lining up in West Kelowna to come home last night for the bus, dreading another 5 hours on the bus on the way home, knowing that I needed to get some work accomplished, and just seeing the growing lineup of people forming at the bus, knowing it's going to be crowded again. And you could see everyone who was standing in the line at the bus stop in their minds working out, how can I get near the front of this line so I can get the best seat on the bus and I don't have to be in an awkward spot? So the bus pulls up, and instead of it being one orderly lineup, how everybody came, it's this mass herd to the door. Who could be first on the bus? And I had to fight those feelings inside that said, I want to have my own seat this time, please. I'm going to get on first. Not being submissive. Giving up that right and allowing others to do it, not because we're weak, but because we're strong. Foster talks in his book, in that chapter on submission, about who we submit to. And he lists 7, but I want to give you 3. I've nailed them or brought them down into 3, and I think they all fit into these 3 categories. We first submit to Christ. We know how to do that through his word, of course, but our submission, our highest authority is to Jesus. We're following him, so we submit to him. And then we submit to one another, the community of God's people. And you could say, well, what happened to family and husband and wife and all that? For me, those fit within the community of God's people. They're just different circles within the community. We submit to Christ, we submit to community, and we submit to the culture around us. Not out of weakness, but out of strength. For Jesus said in Mark chapter 8, if you want to be my disciple, you must deny yourself, pick up your cross, and follow me. For life in the kingdom is the way of the cross. It's about submission. It's not about climbing a ladder. It's about submitting oneself for the sake of Christ. And he said, you need to follow me, which brings us to this passage in Philippians chapter 2, which we had read to us earlier. Come with me to the first 4 verses, and we'll just take a minute to look at those. Therefore, if you have any encouragement from being united with Christ, if any comfort from his love, if any common sharing in the Spirit, if any tenderness and compassion, pause for a second. One word is all I want to talk about. It's the word if. Because in the original Greek, if you look at that word if, you can also translate it since. In other words, it carries with it the understanding or the meaning, not just if, like maybe it will, maybe it won't, but because of or since that. In other words, what Paul's saying to us is because these things are true, right? It's not maybe they are, maybe they aren't. They are true, and he's asking, in a sense, a rhetorical question. Because, or since you have encouragement from being united with Christ, since you have comfort from his love, since you have common sharing in the Spirit, since you have tenderness and compassion, then what? Then, Make my joy complete by being like-minded, having the same love, one in spirit, one in mind. This is how we should act. Because these things are true, this is how we should act. And then he goes on into verse 3. Therefore, do nothing. Do nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit. Rather, in humility, submit yourself to others or value others above yourself. Put others' rights first. Put their needs before yours. That's the way that you live in the kingdom. Not looking to your own interests, but each of you to the interests of others. Verse 5, in your relationships with one another, be like Christ. Have the same mindset as Christ. And he goes into this beautiful hymn of the early church. Listen to the first couple verses again. Who being in very nature God, did not consider equality with God something to be used to his own advantage. Instead, rather, he made himself nothing. By taking the very nature of a servant, being made in human likeness, being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to death, even death on the cross. The attitude of Jesus was that even though he was in nature God, he did not consider equality with God something to be grasped. See, this is what submission deals with us. Sin always originates with this idea that somehow we can equate ourselves to God. We know better than God does. We're going to lift ourselves up to that platform. And submission always is, not my will, Father, but yours. Obedience. He took the nature of a servant. That was his action. Even though he was in nature God, he took the nature of a servant. He became like a human being, like us as a human. And in his humanity, he took on the nature of a servant. Became obedient, even obedient unto death. So practically, what do? Can I give you 3 suggestions for the week ahead? Just encourage you to try. Submit yourself to Christ. What does that mean? Find one thing in your life that you struggle to obey him with. Just one. Let go of everything else. I know each of us could list 50. But just pick one. Forget the other 49 for this week. And work on the one. Lord, come and by your grace empower me to be obedient to you in this area. And help me to practice submission. I submit to you. Your way, not mine. And then practice one act of submission in community. What's that look like? I'm not going to tell you all the different options, but you know, think about blessing another person. I submit to you. I'd like it this way, but I know you'd like it that way, so I'm going to bless you and I'm going to honor you in this. Or I'm going to send you a note just of encouragement. One thing to bless another. And then finally, one thing to submit to your neighborhood or to culture. Maybe it's an act of hospitality. Not something that you have to do, but that you get to do. Some act of kindness to a neighbor. Do those 3 things, a submission to Christ, a submission to community, and a submission to a neighborhood or the culture around us. Just one act in each of those and watch what begins to happen. For submission begins with this attitude. I will submit myself to you. Service, on the other hand, the second discipline we're looking at, is a little bit different. They go together. In one sense, you could say that submission was an attitude that led to acts of service. But I want to go a little bit further. And I think the best way to describe this is to have a peek at this short video. And after this video is finished, I'll come and just do a couple minutes before we close. Can you start it again? It's not really a mime, it's more of a out loud one.
Nice glasses.
Phil. Thanks.
I have 20/20 vision. I don't really need glasses.
Well, I used to have perfect vision until I caught Mac disease while on the mission field. So, glasses, totally worth it.
Where did you do mission work?
I spent an entire week in Africa.
Oh, I was in Africa for an entire year. It's amazing how much you get to know Jesus when you're there for that long.
Where were you in Africa? I rescued orphans from there all the time.
Really? I wonder if you rescued them from the orphanages that I built there.
I don't think so.
Oh, you wouldn't probably know that they're mine. I don't have my name on the building or anything. I prefer to remain anonymous.
Well, I prefer to remain anonymous too, but when you do so much for Jesus like I do, you just can't help but be known. Listen, I built so many hospitals and churches because I care about the body and the soul.
That's nice, but I don't need a church to save souls. I just preach from the side of the mountain, like Jesus.
Well, if you would come down off of that mountain, you would know what people really need, like I do.
Please, like you know what people need. Me and Jesus, we're tight.
Look, you guys wouldn't even know Jesus if he came up to you with a sign that said, I'm Jesus.
Are you kidding? I've brought more people to Jesus than Jesus.
Well, you wouldn't even have a ministry if it wasn't for me. Jesus. What are you doing?
Do you love me? Do you really love me? Then follow me.
Kind of says it all, doesn't it? The discipline of serving or service is not about climbing a ladder, one-upmanship, as they tried to do to each other over and over and over again. No, the act of serving helps us begin to understand, or at least we have to act from a position of being among instead of above. How foolish was that video? They did it on purpose. Talking about somehow we white privileged people taking something to underprivileged people and doing this mission stuff. Fools. We do it in our own neighborhoods too. Serving is not from a position of power to a position of weakness. Serving is when we have submitted ourselves and come alongside or among or with. Serving is not about gaining favor with God, as somehow he's got this scoreboard up there that we can check off, or he checks off and gives us points, brownie points, whenever we do something so that he'll love us more. There's nothing that we can do to make him love us more or less. Serving's not about accomplishing a task, nor is it about getting or gaining reciprocation. In other words, I'm going to do something nice for you, so you'll do something nice back for me. So what is it? The discipline of serving is listening to the Holy Spirit and acting when he prompts. Cam, I've given you the ability to do this. I've given you the resources to do this. I've given you the opportunity to do this. Act. Go. The discipline of serving is not just an act of kindness, but it's a decision to be humble. I remember the very first year we were here at Southside, somebody came in, a new person, and first week that they were here, they looked at me and they said, I have the gift of preaching. When can I preach here at Southside? And without missing a beat, I looked at them straight in the face and said, as soon as you learn to clean the toilets. The discipline of serving is not just an act. It's a way of life. See, it moves from action. Of course it's action. You have to do something. But it moves deep within us to a DNA. It's Christ formed within us. I was walking in the hills outside Kelowna yesterday with my dad, who began to tell me a story of somebody that he had either known or known of a long time ago. This man was a theologian. He was a Bible school professor. He got married, and on their honeymoon, his wife had a terrible accident and was left in an awful state for the rest of her life. And for 45 years, this man cared for his wife when she couldn't care for herself. See, that's serving. That's moving from an act of kindness or an act of serving to being a servant, to being one whose whole DNA is wrapped up with this idea that this is how Jesus acted. For Jesus said, I have not come to serve, but I have not come to be served, but to serve. Matthew 20:28. Jesus didn't just serve those who were the elite. He came and served those who were the least of these. John 12:26 reminded me of a story when Mother Teresa was asked in the midst of Calcutta and all the stuff, the horror that was going on there, the decaying of bodies on the street from people dying of starvation. Where is Jesus in the midst of this? Somebody asked her. As she held a dying child in her arms and looked into the child's eyes, she said, every time I look into the eyes of the least of these, I see Jesus. Now, learning to serve, the discipline of serving, allows us to come to a place where, because it's so deeply ingrained in us, we begin to serve the least of these and we don't even know it. And so we, like the disciples, go to Jesus and say, Jesus, when did we see you hungry? When did we see you naked? When did we see you in prison and do all this stuff? And what did Jesus say? As much as you've done it to the least of these, you've done it to me. So practically, could I invite you this week to just put this into practice? Do one thing. Serve one person that can't possibly reciprocate. The least of these. Do one act of kindness or one act of service where no one will know. You can't be seen doing this. It's not for getting credit. It's just because you're submitting yourself to Jesus. And do one act of service that's not about climbing the ladder or getting ahead, but it's actually for the benefit of others. There's more, but let's stop. Submission. Becoming like Christ, who humbled himself. Didn't demand his rights, but took on the nature of a servant. Serving. Not to get ahead or gain favor or climb the ladder or be reciprocated, but instead, as unto Jesus, not seen, not reciprocated, but to learn to have it become a part of our DNA, because we're following him. Let me pray, and we're going to sing a closing song before we give final instruction. Thanks, Lord, for the bus ride to Kelowna and the mirror that it was of how far I still have to go. I wanted the armrest. I wanted it quiet. I wanted it cool. I have rights. Thanks for the mirror that you held up, that reminded me that because I've decided to follow you, I've given up my rights. And the only right that I have is to say, Lord, I'm yours. And thanks for the privilege of every day of my life being allowed to serve you. And the fact that in your wisdom, serving you means that I can serve one of the least of these. Not for credit, not to be seen, not for brownie points, not for any of that. But because it's about Christ being formed in me. So we bless you. And we come and we want to sing this last song to you as a response to you, as a just a big thank you. And a crying out to you that we need you to come and by your Spirit pour grace into our lives, because we can't live this life on our own. We can't do it. We need you. So come.